chasing after this world makes me tired. Raising my own name leaves me dry. There's gotta be so much more to life than this. A higher calling that I've missed. I want my life to count every breath. I wanna live with a bandit and give you all that I am. Every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hands. I wanna live with abandon, up everything to follow you. Oh, it's only your hands I hold on to. There's gotta be so much more to life than this. Higher calling that I missed. I want my life to count every breath. I wanna live with a bandit, give you all that I am. Every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hands. I wanna live with a bandit. In your hands, I want to live with a bandit. I'm not looking back, I'm done with that. I want to give you all I have. I'm not looking back, I'm done with that. I want to give you all I have. I'm not looking back, I'm done with that. I wanna give you all I have. I'm not looking back, I'm done with that. I wanna give you all I have. I wanna live with a bandit, give you all that I am. Every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hands. I wanna live with a bandit, give you all that I am. Every part of my heart, Jesus, I place in your hands. I wanna live with a bandit.
of the goodness of God. the goodness of God. Good.
valley I will sing. On the mountain I will sing. When it's dark I still sing. When I don't know and I can't see, I still sing.
Thank you. chance to heaven. Begin to thank Him for His faithfulness. Begin to thank Him for His goodness. Open up your mouth and release a sound to Him. Father, we worship You today. We give You praise and glory and honor. We adore You, Lord. We worship You and we thank You, God, that You are faithful to us, that Your name is greater than any other name, that Your power is greater and conquers every adversity, that You are stronger than anything that could come against us, Lord. When we feel like we're lost, when we feel like we can't do it, when we feel like we can't do another thing, Lord, You are right there with us, empowering us, conquering for us, God. We thank You that You fight our battles, and we declare today, great are You, Lord. Great are You, Lord. Let all the earth sing and praise You and shout Your name. We worship You today. Come on, let's sing that one more time. All the earth. Anxiety right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke worry. I command it to break, leave in the name of Jesus. And I declare the peace of God is filling our hearts today, filling up the voids and the dark places, the deep crevices of our heart, longing for the love of the Father. Jesus, we thank You for the sweet perfume of Your glory in this house today. The perfume of Your love that is filling us today. We give You glory, Lord. Jesus, we honor You and lift You up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a big hand of praise. You can be seated. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're glad you're here. If you're tuning in online today, thank you for joining us. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. And first, I just want to make a quick announcement that all the giving statements have gone out. You may have heard this already, but if you haven't seen your giving statement, make sure you check your email. Look in the spam box. It may have ended up there. and then add PushPay to your address book if you need to do that. A few of you had your giving statements go out in the mail, and so you should have received that by now. If you haven't, just come and see me. There are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app, or you can do so on our website. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. And we welcome you to come forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Come on, put your hands together. I'm no longer a slave to what? Fear. What is fear? Fear is an acronym. It's false evidence that appears real. Anybody, you ever been scared? Come on. False evidence that appears to be real is fear. I think everybody ought to commit, every child of God ought to commit to memory, 2 Timothy chapter 1, I believe it's verse number 7. For God, come on, help me here. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of what? But of power and love and a sound mind. You might be going through something right now, and you think, you know, you always think the worst. Come on, haven't they told you that 95% of all emergency room visits are not emergencies at all? They're not. People are in there because they got gas. Come on. People are in there because they cut their finger. They're not emergencies. You're not going to die. But some people believe that every little crisis is the end. And the enemy would have you to believe that. I believe, I love the gift of the Spirit this morning. Pastor Noli was saying that the Lord was just breaking anxiety off of people. Come on. This is the house of the Lord. This is where worship takes place. And when worship takes place, then God moves. Amen. And God moved this morning and said, I'm breaking anxiety off of people. I'm doing emotional healings. How many of you can just testify today that the Spirit of the Lord touched you while the worship was going on? Come on. Give the Lord praise today. He's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power. The power of the word there, I'll preach in a minute. Hang on. Power there. Is dunamis. It's the dynamics of the Spirit of God. When discernment kicks in and you recognize in your spirit that something's not right. Amen? I'll give you the dynamics of the Spirit. Then I'll give you love. What is that? That's agape in the original language. That's an unconditional kind of love. We'll talk about that in the latter part of today's message. Agape is an unconditional type of love where you love not based on the circumstances that you see. You love because God's love is in you and it's poured out into you so that you can do what? Poured out to other people. Amen. So power, love, and then here's the real challenge with fear. Fear puts you in a prison without bars. Amen. I've been there before. I preached a message. I've preached it all over the U.S., I guess. On fear, because when God led me to bring this church to a different level and to bring it together with varied ethnicities, my life was threatened. The FBI got involved, took me to a house, showed me the guy that said, I'm going to kill you, man, because I don't like what you're doing. I'm going to kill you. And the man had a record a mile long. He was a serious criminal. And he said, Pastor Phillips, what do you want to do? I talked to my leadership about it. What do you want to do? Do you want to prosecute this man for threatening you to kill you? I said, no, because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what? I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And in the midst of that, and in the midst of circumstances that I've been through in my life and crises that I've walked through, I'm still able to go to sleep. Ask my wife. I sleep like a dog. Amen. Ask her. Thank God for sleep labs and medical supplies. Thank you, Chris. Amen. Because if it wasn't for a machine, I'd sound like a bear. Amen. But I sleep. Even in the midst of circumstances that should keep me awake, I have the gift of sleep. Amen. And so listen, if you're here today, And some of you, I believe this because the Holy Spirit has quickened that through Pastor Noli, and now we're talking about it again. And then Brittany's song. She chose the song, okay? Brittany's song. You're great, Lord. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in my lungs. And that's the reason I pour out praise, because if I went on my lungs, and since we're talking about that, some of y'all need to get a life, okay? Some of y'all need to move and clap your hands and raise your hands, because you seem like you're just so subdued sometimes. And listen, we're emotional beings. So it's okay to stomp, okay? It's okay to run. It's okay to cry. And there are moments for all of those things. But I would love to see some emotion on some of you. Amen. I mean, you know, when I was out jamming and raising hell in the world, I did it good, okay? I did it good, man. I was on the front row. Amen. I did it real good. So when you come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has redeemed your life from the pit, you ought to still have that emotion that is transferred to the Lord of glory, amen, to the God of the universe who pulled you out of darkness into the light of the gospel. And he lets you still have your emotion. Come on. He does. I was watching the worship team this morning. And in so many instances, I wanted to get up there and be in their hands and in their feet and say, come on, guys, move. And then I started to see a move, and I started to see tears. And it's okay. You can be an emotional being. You know? Worship the Lord. Give him your passion. Give him your very best. Well, I'm a Baptist. No, you're not. You're a Christian. Okay? Stop putting titles on yourself that hold you down. Okay? Be free in the kingdom of God. Free to worship. We're going to have an altar call in a little bit. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. Well, COVID's going on. So what? Who cares about COVID? I care about the Holy Ghost. Okay? And if the Holy Ghost can't handle COVID, then we don't need to be here. Okay? Yes, I appreciate masks. I got several of them. Okay? And I put them on when I need to. And I appreciate hand sanitizer, and I use it every day. I got two or three bottles in my truck, okay? I appreciate all those things. But listen, you say, well, Pastor, you mention this all the time. I mention it all the time because it breaks my heart that some of you are sitting at home on an excuse. You're home now because you've just learned how to relax at home, and I don't know if you'll ever come back to the house of God or not because you just like it at home so well. Can I just tell you? Move to a place where you step out in faith and assemble yourselves together like the Bible says. Come on. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Even more, I'm speaking from Hebrews here, even more as you see what? The day approaching. What day? The day when the Lord Jesus comes back. You and I should be assembling more. I'm going to give you more opportunities to assemble, smaller groups. Here in these next few weeks, more opportunities. Get connected. Get connected to something. Because you know what? The days that are yet ahead of us are challenging days. And we need to be prepared. Amen? We need to be prepared. I'm so glad to be able to preach to you today. I'm excited about my message. My wife, Pastor Joy, said, honey, are you excited about your message today? I said, yes, I am. I'm excited about the message today. We are in a series, the Vision Series. I love to just talk about the things that are in my heart. I'm devoted to you as a pastor. I want to bring God's word to you. I'm devoted to you as a team. Thank God for the worship team. You guys did an incredible job this morning leading us into the presence of the Lord. Come on. They did. Incredible job. This church, I'm devoted to the mission of this church. Carpenter Shop International Church is a multi-ethnic, amen, multi-generational. That means you can be any color and any age, amen. We'll take you with wrinkles. We'll take you with smooth skin. Come on. We'll just take you any kind of way we can get you. It's a multi-ethnic. It doesn't matter if you're from Yugoslavia or a Husky, amen. Doesn't matter. We're multi-generational, we're multi-ethnic, and our vision is to love all people. We just love folk, amen? And that's God's plan for your life. Some of you are struggling, hey, I don't know what God wants me to do. He wants you to love people. He wants you to love. You were created to love people, amen? Just love them. Well, I don't know if I can trust them or not. God doesn't care about that. Did God trust you? Okay. Can you be trusted? Come on. But God loves you anyway. And so you're created to love all people and to win them to Christ. Every person that God places in your life, he does so for a reason. Okay? And every time God puts you in a new position, a new place, and a new season of your life, God has something new that he's doing. Amen. I'm so glad that I don't serve a God that's just predictable. I'm 60 years old here in just a little bit. I'll let you know when it gets sooner so you can party up a storm. But I'm almost 60 years old, and I'm excited about my life. Amen. I'm looking forward to what God has for me in my 60s. Amen. I mean, discounts are good. Come on. Amen. I've been getting them at McDonald's. I remember the first time they asked me, seniors? Yes, yeah, senior. Amen. But I'm excited about what God is doing in my life as a man who's in his 60s. Amen. I'm excited about what God's doing. And God wants us to be excited about our life. And I'm thankful that God has called me to love people and to win people. And here's the good one today is about building and to build them in discipleship. Amen? To build people in discipleship. And then ultimately the last message will be on what? Sending. Love, win, build, send. That's our mission. To build people. It's really quite simple. Love, win, build, send. I spoke to you in the last couple of messages that I preached on loving and winning. Amen. Today I want to speak to you about building people in discipleship. I'm sure the heart of God is grieved. Because from time to time, I know as a Christian leader and as a pastor, my heart is grieved. My heart is grieved sometimes when I hear people or see people in the emotional stage. They're broken and they're in tears and they're crying and they raise their hand. Yes, I want to receive Christ. And they even come forward and they pray the prayer. I confess, you know, with my mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in my heart God's raised him from the dead. And you're saved. And does God save you? Yes, he does. He's already done that on the cross. But here's what happens with people when they make a decision for Christ and then they don't get built. They want to be a decision, but not a disciple. There's a difference. God didn't call you to be a decider. He called you to be a disciple. That means you take the position of a student. I've mentioned this the last couple of three times I've preached here. You take the position of a student and a pupil, and you become a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, all the way down to the end of what? Revelation. You become a student of the Lord. You become a pupil. You become a disciple, one who will sit at his feet and learn about him. It's not about doing church, okay? Just because you come in here doesn't mean your life is radically transformed and you become just an amazing disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to apply yourself. You have to submit yourself to teaching, to learning. Amen? Building, being built up. But here's the thing. In the church today, not many people will let you build them in discipleship. I mean, you know, we got a fair crowd today. But you ought to peep in Wednesday nights. Well, I work. Well, who don't? Well, I work, you know, I get off, and by the time I can get supper done, that's why we have drive-thrus. Okay. Yeah, let me get a number one, please, with mayonnaise. Okay. You didn't hear what she said through that little speaker. And you get your meal, and you run to the church, and you sit down with other believers of like precious faith, and you have a 30, 45-minute lesson in discipleship. Amen? What are you doing for discipleship? What are you doing to be built? Amen? And the sad thing is some people just accept, you know, that kind of, I want to go to heaven, don't want to go to hell, and then that's as far as they take it. They never get a good Bible that they can learn from. They never get one that they can study and just, you know, and just connect and just, you know, broaden their horizons in the spiritual realm. Matthew 28, verse 19, therefore go and do what? Make deciders. No, 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 no. Not deciders. Make students. Make disciples. Make people who will sit down at the feet of Jesus and submit themselves to his word and learn of him and baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Had a tremendous opportunity just this past week to preach in Pakistan. Amen. In a remote village at 9 o'clock in the morning here, preaching from a pulpit in Edenton, just borrowed Pastor Andrews at First Assembly in Edenton. Showed up there at 8:30 in the morning, got everything ready, did a sound check with a team who was in the pitch dark in a little village in Pakistan. Sent them a drop on Visa card, you know, through the electronic system, and paid for a stack of Bibles to be passed out to all these people. Isn't that crazy? He said, how much do you want to give? He didn't say you gotta give this or you gotta give that. How much do you want to give? I said, I'll give you this. And he said, we're just going to buy Bibles with them. I said, okay. And they bought hundreds of Bibles and distributed Bibles to every person at that meeting. And I was able to interact with people. I sat there and I said, hey, man sitting in the second row with the checkered thing on, have him stand up. And they spoke their language and said that. And he stood up and I said, hey, what's going on in your body right now? The Lord says there's something going on in your body. And he came back to me and said, well, it's a little bit embarrassing. I don't really know if I can say it or not, you know, so everybody can hear it. I said, if you're comfortable saying it, that doesn't bother me. And so he stood there a second, just a couple of seconds. And then he released through that microphone what was going on in his body. And I just prayed in Jesus' name and prayed for one after another. Finally, she said, Pastor, she said, this place is packed with people. And it's going to take a long time. She said, there's several people that have raised their hands for physical healing. Why don't you just have them all stand and we'll pray one prayer of healing over every one of them. And so that crowd stood to their feet when I said, hey, how many of you have something going on physically in your body and you need healing? From a microphone in Edenton and a Visa card payment, I was able to preach the gospel of the kingdom and the healing of the sick that Jesus did and touch a congregation sitting on the ground in a little village in Pakistan. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise. That's amazing. Preaching in Pakistan. Then I love the Facebook comments. Oh, Pastor, praying for you to return home safely. Have a nice flight. And I said, yes. Glory to God, I'm going to have a nice flight. 10 miles back to my house from Edenton Church. She didn't know. But we can do those incredible things today. Why? Because we've been built, amen? We've been built for such a time as this, and we're called to go and to make disciples of every nation, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. It continues to say this, teaching them. Somebody say teaching. Teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. What's everything that he's commanded us? Genesis to Revelation. Okay? Everything he's commanded in the written word of God. Amen? It's a book about life. That's what the Bible is. It's a book about life. How God created humanity and how humanity is supposed to respond to God. That's really what the Bible is. It's real simple. The Bible is a book that talks about how God created humans and how humans are supposed to respond to the God who created them. That's the Bible. That's a good definition. It's a good definition. And the disciple, according to the Bible, is one who will sit at his feet and learn. Moving you from salvation, that emotional moment when God called you to the altar, he pulls you from that emotional moment into maturity, a decision to be a disciple. Amen. A disciple submits himself to the instruction of the Word of God. Paul dealt with this issue. The Apostle Paul dealt with this issue in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 11 to 16 today. Thank you, online people, for watching us. An amazing, amazing opportunity to be preaching to 182 nations from this pulpit this morning. Praise God. 182 nations of the earth. And the Bible says here to this 182 nations that in Ephesians chapter 4, it was he who gave some to be what? Apostles. Some to be prophets. Now, it's talking about here, Paul's telling the church at Ephesus that God has called certain people and giving them unusual and unique giftings. To be an apostle, to be a prophet, some to be an evangelist, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. And scholars struggle with this, whether it's pastors and teachers or pastors slash teachers. Because how many of you know what I'm doing right now? I'm preaching, but I'm also what? Teaching. Okay? I'm preaching and teaching. In other words, God has called and released certain individuals to do ministry to be a gift to the body of Christ. Amen? A gift to the church, a gift to the world, and to function and specifically and uniquely do what God's called them to do. He gave some to be apostles. What are apostles? Apostles are messengers, one that are sent by God with specific orders. Apostles raise up ministry. Apostles father ministers and release them to the work that God has called them to do. I believe fully, not saying this boastingly or a right to brag, but I believe God has placed a unique apostolic gifting and anointing on my life as a pastor. Because Pastor Joy and I can count them all the way up to in their 20s of people that have been released out from this church to do ministry elsewhere. We release people to get out of here. Amen? Don't stay here at this church. Go. Go do what you're called to do. That's an apostolic anointing right there. Okay? And then he's called some to be what? Evangelist. He's called some people to be prophets. Prophets are moved by the Holy Spirit to speak, having power by the Holy Spirit to instruct, to comfort, to courage. Uh-oh, it gets tough here. To rebuke. Amen? To reprove, to convict, to stimulate the hearers that are listening to the prophetic word to be called to some sort of action. Amen? I believe God has prophetic ministry on my life. Amen? I believe he does. I believe that there are times that God calls me to do prophetic things. It doesn't mean I proclaim myself as a prophet. You call me what you want to, but I'm not calling myself that. I'm not calling myself an apostle either. Okay, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't uniquely release those giftings and abilities for such a time, but it doesn't mean he's called me to the office of a prophet. Then he's called some to be what? Evangelists. Those are the people who herald the message of what? The good news, the evangelion. We get our word evangelism out of that. He calls us to give the good news of salvation that comes through Jesus, to be the bearer of the good news. Amen? Then he calls some to be pastors. What are pastors? Pastors are shepherds. Poimens, P-O-I-M-E-N is the word in the Greek language. It is a shepherd. It's one who's called to care for the sheep. Amen? To care for the sheep, to shepherd the flock, to preside or manage over an assembly of believers. Amen? Then he's called some to be teachers. Those who expound the word of God, teach the word of God, rightly divide the word of God, and teach God's people. Amen? So what is the goal of these God-given gifts? Why did God raise up, according to Paul in Ephesians, why did he raise up apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists? Verse 12 answers that. Look at verse 12. I'm just studying the Bible out loud is all I'm doing. Verse number 12 says this, to do what? To prepare God's people. Who's God's people? You are. You're in here this morning receiving what? Preparation. Not H, okay? Preparation. Stay awake. Anything can happen. Okay? You're receiving preparation to do what? To serve. Preparation to serve. To prepare God's people for works of service. That's not all of it. So that the body of Christ might be what? Built up. The body of Christ might be built up. My wife and I were talking on the way to church today. We were talking about people who've been built up. I got this reminder on my arm. I have this little bracelet here. Amen. And it reminds me that there's a man named Kevin. Okay? Kevin, we were reading. She was reading me a story about someone who had come out of a life of drugs and had given their life to Jesus Christ. And I said, man, just like Kevin Thompson. Kevin and Mariah came here and ministered. Kevin is on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, man. He can't get enough. He can't get enough of opportunities to talk about Jesus. And he's preparing himself to leave this country and to go to Cameroon in Africa to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I told my wife as we were riding, I said, man, you talk about being built. He's built. Why? Because he came out of what the devil intended to bring destruction in the life of Kevin. He intended to destroy him. John 10:10 says what? The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and have it to what? To the full. Abundant life, the King James says. Abundant life. And so Kevin came out of darkness into the light of the gospel, and he positioned himself in Teen Challenge, and he got free from that addiction, and he received discipleship and training, and he sat under Pastor Greg Davenport for years, and then he served the church, not on staff, but just gave himself to the church. What can I do, Pastor? How can I help you? How can I serve? That's what some of you ought to be asking me. What do you need to be done, Pastor? I'm available, okay? I want to help. I want to serve. And so Kevin gave himself, and God called him uniquely to be a missionary in another country. And I thought, wow, what a building. He's being built for the kingdom cause that he was created. I formed you in the womb, and I knew you, the Lord says to the prophet in the Old Testament. Before you were even formed in your mama's womb, I knew you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So he's being built up to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. We all work better as a team. John Maxwell says the team does what? Together, everybody accomplishes more. It's not all about Pastor Wallace. Okay, he's a good guy. I like him. But it's not all about him. Okay? It also takes a host of other people. Think about it this way. This morning, you know, I got here just right around 10 o'clock, okay? The church was opened. It was opened by somebody. Somebody turned on the light. Somebody set the temperature. Somebody made sure it was going to be comfortable. Persons positioned themselves at the door to say, good morning. Welcome to Carpenter's Shop. They're greeters. And they approached you as you approached the building this morning. Somebody turned on the systems, made sure the purifications are running, make sure the lights and everything's just comfortable to enhance communication. They turned on the sound system. Somebody's positioned in a place of prayer right now. They're on their face praying for this service that God would do something incredible at the close of the service today. They're praying and interceding. Why? Because somebody cares. Somebody has to be on the wall. So there are security guys that are standing here watching every move. They're talking to one another back and forth. If something strange happened or someone does something unique, they'll alert each other. Somebody's serving. Somebody's watching. Somebody's on the wall. And then they're praying for the pastor and the ministry team. And skilled musicians played the songs this morning. And singers are leading us into the presence of God. Why? Because together everybody accomplishes more. We could never be in 182 nations if we didn't have a quality setup that people gave their gifts and abilities and their finance to make sure that we're in India today preaching the gospel. We're in Pakistan today preaching the gospel. Why? Because we have proper equipment installed and running in effectiveness to be able to do that. Because together everybody accomplishes more. It's not a one-man show. It's not. It takes a lot of people. Right now, kids are being ministered to upstairs on their level. They're not talking about being built in discipleship. They're talking about something else that really gets down on their level. Somebody's in the nursery taking care of the babies. Amen? Because together everybody accomplishes more. We do this as a team, and we find our place. You need to find your place. You bring your giftings and your abilities so that together we can effectively present the message of Jesus to this earth. And let's be honest, you feel more of a part when you are a participant in something. You felt like you made it happen. I was standing back here a moment ago, and I just pulled out my phone, and I said, hey, I get the front row seat to the drum man this morning, Dougie Fresh, and I put it on Facebook while you were singing, okay? Because I got excited when I saw the sticks hitting them things back there. Boom, boom, bang, bang, woo, woo, woo. I can't do that. If I did that, you'd say, get off the drums. But guess what? Doug can do it and does a great job. Okay? Everybody finds their place. And when you do find your place, you feel better about being a part. And together, everybody accomplishes more. Why do we do this? Look at verse 12. It concludes that we do this so that the body might be what? Built up. So that the body of Christ might be built up. Okay. Flex your muscles. Let us see your keg. Okay. Or your six pack. We all work together so that the Father can have His way today. Speak His message today. Encourage His people today so that verse 13 can take place. What happens in verse 13? Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? Mature. God's called every believer to Christian maturity, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You're not just to come sit here and get fat on what I say. You're to dig out for yourself in the Word of God. You're to have those times in your home where you pull up somebody's message online or on Facebook or this the old-fashioned way. Just open that big old smelly Bible you got to smell like a cow. All that leather. Smell good, don't it? Pull out that Bible. Mark it up with your highlighter and your ink pen of things that the Holy Spirit says to you. Why? Because that's causing you to become mature. Amen? In other words, make the message of Christ perpetual, and the kingdom of God can keep advancing. People are built up in their faith. They mature in their walk with God to become all that Christ destined them to become. It's called discipleship. And here's the question. How long do you stay in discipleship? Do you get out like in 12 years, like when you go to high school? No. You're in discipleship all your life, okay? All your life. Not 12 years. You stay in discipleship until you die. You get to grow and develop and mature. Check this out now. You get to grow and develop and mature so that you can come along beside someone else and help them do what? Grow and develop and mature. Why? So that they can in turn get beside somebody else and help them to grow and develop and mature. And if you stay focused on growing and developing and maturing, verse 14 and to 16 will be your experience. Look at this. Then you will no longer be like infants, babies that are tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every crazy teaching and the cunning and the craftiness of men in their deceiving and their scheming. When you're discipled in the Word, false teaching will just raise up just like that. And you'll say, whoa, man, something ain't right about that. And you'll go to the Word and you'll back it up. Or people text me all the time, Pastor, do you know what that verse means? Somebody put something crazy on Facebook. I said, yeah, I saw that, man. Wash that down the toilet. That's not what it means. But you should be able to do that. Why? Because you're a disciple. You don't have to call the pastor. Because you know what the pastor does when you call him? While you're talking, he's pulling out his Bible. Hey, what does so-and-so mean in the Greek language? He's looking it up on his phone, okay? You can do the same thing. Make sure you get facts. What does this mean in the Greek language? You don't have to have the books. You got it all right there at your hand right now. One of the greatest tools that has ever been invented, but is also one of the greatest devices to take people down. It is indeed the World Wide Web. It can be a web of destruction. But that's what we're called to do, is preach the truth. I was preaching a message several years ago in a church. I won't call the name of it, nor the pastor. But I preached a message, and I was just preaching away just like I am right now. And a man stood up in the midst of my preaching, my teaching, and he started just getting radical about, you know, coming against what I was saying. And the church wasn't very well prepared as we are. These guys, they take somebody out. You go do something stupid. Let somebody do something stupid here. They take you out. Okay? Okay? They take you out of here. They're called bouncers. They bounce your honey right out of this building. Okay? But I was preaching away, and this guy stands up, and he starts yelling back at me about what I was teaching. You're telling people lies. Now, that's not my job. I'm the guest. It's not my job to handle this cat. Okay? So I just keep on preaching. And finally, thank God, finally somebody intervened. Okay? But he was accusing me while I was preaching of preaching a false message about the rapture of the church. And I wasn't. I was taking it straight from the Bible, teaching those doctrinal beliefs and standards that are wrapped around that word rapture that doesn't appear in the Bible. But he wanted to bring to light, here we go, his revelation. I know what you're saying, but this is what God showed me. I don't care what God showed you, okay? You might have just ate too much pizza one night. I want to know what the Bible says, okay? And so we ended up having to throw him out of the meeting for a distraction. But here's my point. We need the truth of God's word not only proclaimed here but understood where you are. You should have the foundation of the word of God and discernment of the spirit to know when something is stated that's not true. Don't take everything I say and take it hook, line, and sinker. Weigh it against the word of God. Okay? Paul reminds us when we come to a place of building upon our salvation, foundation, and discipleship, then we will no longer, he says, be babies, be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching that comes down the system. Instead, he says in verse 15, look at it, we will be able to speak the what? The truth. In love, we will all in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And when the false teaching in verse 14 rears its head, Paul says that you'll be able to correct it. You'll be able to rebuke it in love. Why? Because we've grown up in Christ. And people ask me a lot of times, every week of my life, Pastor, can I ask you a question? Sure. Every week of my life, people text me stuff. Can I ask you this? Somebody was teaching this, and what do you feel about this? Or, hey, would you listen to this clip and let me know what your vibe is on this? I'll give you the truth. I'm not going to tell you an answer that I think you want to hear. I'm going to tell you the truth. I think it's a fruitcake. I'll tell you. He's a fruitcake, okay? He's flaky. The Bible doesn't say that. And then Paul says in verse 16, from him the whole body, look at what he says here, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up. This is when people are plugged in. This is why I want you here on Wednesday night. Not because we want a big crowd, but we want a big growth factor where the people of God are growing and developing and producing disciples. You should be leading people to the Lord. You should be loving on people every day of your life and showing them who Jesus looks like. Okay? Then it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And the team works together. Why? Because they're mature. People, I know churches, listen, I've seen people bust churches wide open over position. I've seen people have, you know, nominations and, you know, they vote on so-and-so to be a deacon. That's a prescription for trouble. We're not a democracy. We're a theocracy. God is the head here. And he's appointed a shepherd. That's me. Okay? I'm the Moses of the house, okay? I don't say that in an ugly way. God's called me, and you say, well, you sure do think you're in charge. I am, okay? But guess what? I get a judgment not like yours. I get a judgment far harder than your judgment will be because why? Because God trusted me to lead you, okay? So my day's coming where I'm going to stand before a holy God, the righteous judge of the universe, and I'm going to give an account of how I handled you. You're going to give an account of how you handled you. But I get to give an account on how I handled me and you. Okay? That's not fair. But guess what it comes with? Comes with the calling. Okay? Comes with the calling. Maturity happens when everybody does their part and the whole thing works together. Listen up closely. So what happens when there's no discipleship? I like this part. No discipleship. You just, I want to go to heaven, don't want to go to hell. You raise your hand, you cry, you give your heart to Jesus, and that's it. You don't take any word. You never get plugged into anything. You just know you're going to a place called heaven. You don't know if you're going to get there by a bus or a plane, but you know one day you're going to go. See, you don't know anything about it. But you just don't want to go to hell. And you start looking at God as an insurance policy. Keep you out of a fiery place. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You get to be his disciple. You get to allow his word to become a part of your life. You get to see signs and wonders follow you because of the name of Jesus that is active in your life. You get to pray for people. You get to teach God's word on a regular basis. And it's so important that we be built up and become mature, because when people remain, here we go, when they remain immature, Paul says, not me, Paul says they act like what? Infants. What do infants do? They create a stink that mature people have to clean up. I don't think y'all got that. I said infants create a stink. Here we go. Back here. They create a stink that the mature people, somebody say mama, daddy, mom and daddy has to clean up that immaturity and do away with it. Let's take that analogy to the church. When you don't plug in and become discipled, then you know what you do? You go around spreading your immaturity around everywhere, and some godly person who has gentleness and self-control will come and clean your mess up because you're just immature and don't even know it. Now, y'all think about that one. Think about it. That's why we're called to do what? To be disciples. To be built up in our faith so that we can become mature. And then you get to clean up other people's stuff, okay? It's not fun. But guess what? God's called you to be mature so that you can help others. And while you're helping them, you know what you're doing? Teaching them, okay? I get requests all the time from mature people. And guess what I get requests from also? From immature people. Pastor, could you do this? No, you can't do that. Why not? Because if I do that, I would be enabling you, and I'm just not going to do that. Pastor, would you help me here? Would you do this? No, I can't do that. Because I don't believe that that's where you need to be right now, so I'm not going to participate in that. I have to tell the truth to people. And I do it in how? In love. I do it in love. Why? Because I'm what? Mature. Okay? I'm not all the way mature. Okay? Why? Because I just told you. How long am I going to be in discipleship? Until I what? Die. We're called to be students until we die. And we sit at his feet and we learn of him. And it's so important to be built up. And it's so important to be mature, because when we do, the same writer, Paul, writes to the church at Galatia. And in chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, he says, oh, let me tell you what happens. As you submit yourself to God and you become discipled, what starts developing out of your life are various fruit of the Spirit of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. You'll stop what you're doing and you'll love people. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and it's joy, and it's peace, and it's forbearance. You'll forgive easy. Are you sitting here not forgiving somebody? You've been carrying something for 20 years? That ain't the fruit of the Spirit. That's the flesh. Andy talked to you about that last week. Remember the message? The fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the what? The works of the flesh. And so if you have the fruit of the Spirit, you'll forbear real easy. You'll be kind. You'll exercise goodness in your life, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when you love, what do? You accept people unconditionally. When you have joy, your fulfillment is not contingent upon things. You can have nothing and have joy. You might not be happy. Happiness isn't joy. Happiness is when somebody gives you things. It's contingent. Give a kid a lollipop and see what they do. They slobber all over it. Juice runs down their lips. They get it all over their clothes. Why? Because they're so happy. Okay? But you take it from them. What happens? They're not happy. They start crying and kicking. Why? Because you took what was contingent upon their happiness. If you want to calm them down, give them another one. Okay? Stick something else in their mouth. Because they get stuck in happiness, not joy. But joy is not contingent upon things. Paul had joy, and when he wrote this, where was he at? In prison. Okay? Peace, you're calm in the storm. Forbearance, you forgive easy. Kindness, you put others before yourself. Goodness, you give yourself away. Faithfulness, you're all in. Man, I'm in for the whole thing. That's faithfulness. Gentleness, you're not wild. You're tame. Self-control, you're disciplined. Okay? These are all tremendous traits of the Holy Spirit that are evidences of a life that has been transformed by God and is in the process, let me say that, in the process of being built up. Okay? Those are proofs that you're being built up. And you get built up for a reason, so that you can be sent out. Okay? Sent out to a world that also needs to be what? Built up. Okay? This gospel is perpetual. It just goes over and over and over again. I don't know about you, but I get excited about this. I'm excited about what God is doing. I am. I'm excited about more, you know? I'm excited about more opportunities to minister the gospel, more opportunities to see people's lives blessed and changed and healed. Worship team, would you join me back here? Could I have my ministry team just come and just stand across the front here as we prepare to transition here this morning? We love you guys. Thank God for you. Thank you for your faithfulness, man. People are coming to church, and I know there's a host of folks that are just still afraid right now. Fear still grips the church. It still does. It's not God's will, but fear still has the church gripped in many cases. But you're here, and you're believing God. Amen. Stretch out across here, good. Stretch out across here. I want you this morning, if you're here and you just, some of you just need to make a fresh commitment to say, you know what, Pastor? I just need to be built up. I'm committing myself to discipleship. Amen. Committing myself to discipleship. I watch people's level of commitment. And some of you encourage me. Some of you discourage me, but some of you encourage me. I get encouraged when I look in a Bible study on Wednesday night and people walk in with the Bible in their hand. You know? Walk in with a Bible in their hand. They walk in late, they walk in early, and they sit down and they're ready, and I listen from a distance, and people are asking questions. Amen. Keith, let me just tell you, man. Let me just prophesy over you. Is that all right? I'm going to prophesy over you. Uh-oh, he's going to come and talk about me. Yes, I am. I'm going to talk about you to your face. You got a Bible. Look over your right shoulder. Look over your right shoulder right there. That big old Bible I gave you, that's where it came from. It wasn't mine. The big old Bible had a mistake on it. Took a Sharpie and marked across it. You saw that, didn't you? Okay? Doesn't matter to you, does it? Doesn't matter to you, does it? Because you open the Bible, and every week this man right here shows up early for Bible study. Walks in every week. I saw you this morning with your hands up in the air. I saw you up there just worshiping like that. And I'm just telling you today that the Lord says, listen, you have unlocked the key. You have unlocked my heart. And the key has been your position, the Lord says, because you've taken the position of a learner. And you're just soaking it up. And the Lord says, you know what? I'm filling you up so that you can be released out to other people. People that you work with, people that you rub shoulders with, people that you rub elbows with, the Lord says, I'm going to place you in a position. And you're going to begin to notice a boldness, the Lord says, that you're going to start speaking up for righteous sake. You're going to start talking about Jesus. And then you're going to get in the truck and say, wow, I surprised myself. Because God's doing a new thing in your life. A new thing. And you should rub her shoulder because she's part of your happiness. Okay? So, Father, right now, I just pray for Keith and I thank you for that Bible. And I thank you that he's become a student. And as he opens it, Lord, I thank you that every word that he reads will come to life because he's being built for such a time as this. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Now, I want you to stand with me this morning. We're going to sing a little bit, and I want you to step out. Those of you that are here and you say, Pastor, man, I need to make a fresh commitment to being built. Maybe you're not where you know you should be. Hey, incidentally, how'd you like the service? Great. Catholic brother from Greenville today came to worship with us at Carpenter Shop. Amen. Come on. You like the preacher all right? Is he okay? Oh, good job. Thank you. I need one of those once in a while. Built. Pastor, I'm committed to being built. Would you step out of your seat? Would you just come to one of these prayer people and would you let them, they may speak over you. They may just pray for you. They may not say a word. They may just lay their hand on you. But if you're making a fresh commitment today to being built in a different kind of way, step out of your seat right quick. If you need to keep your mask on, that's okay. Okay? Don't worry about that. This is just important that you come. Just come. I'm being built, Pastor. I just want to make a commitment to being built. Just step out of your seat as they begin to sing it.
The goodness of God. ministered to today? Have you realized that once you give your heart to the Lord, that He has so much more for you? Have you realized that today by hearing Pastor's message? Win, love, win, build, sin. Love others, win others to the Lord, and build ourselves in discipleship. And it's interesting, isn't it, Pastor's usage of the term decision versus discipleship. I don't know about you, but it stuck with me today. So let's be purposeful and intentional in the weeks ahead of not only sharing what we have with others, but also of digging in and growing deeper in our own faith. Father, we thank You, Lord, for today. We thank You, Lord, that You love us in all our craziness and all our wrongdoings. You love us enough to send Your Son Jesus to die on the cross, to save us from our sins, heal us from our infirmities, to give us eternal life. Those things, Father, are priceless. Lord, help us not to just make that decision, but help us to move forward, grow, and mature, Father. Allow us, Lord, to be lifelong disciples of You. We thank You, Father, for all that You're doing in our lives behind the scenes that we have no idea of. Thank You, Lord, for renewing that purpose to us today. We ask, Lord, as we go forward this week, that we go forward changed disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.